translation and purport by His Divine Grace. Abhay Charanarvinda Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada ki. So translation first. Thus the knot in the heart is pierced, and all misgivings are cut to pieces. The chain of fruitive actions is terminated when one sees the self as master. Purport. Attaining scientific knowledge of the personality of Godhead means seeing oneself, one's own self simultaneously. As far as the identity of the living being as spirit self is concerned, there are a number of speculations and misgivings. The materialist does not believe in the existence of the spirit self. And empiric philosophers believe in the impersonal feature of the whole spirit without individuality of the living beings. But the transcendentalists affirm that the soul and the supersoul are two different identities, qualitatively one but quantitatively different. There are many other theories, but all of these different speculations are at once cleared off as soon as Sri Krishna is realized in truth by the process of bhakti yoga. Sri Krishna is like the sun, and the materialistic speculations about the absolute truth are like darkest midnight. As soon as Krishna's sun is arisen within one's heart, the darkness of materialistic speculations about the absolute truth and the living beings is at once cleared off. In the presence of the sun, the darkness cannot stand, and the relative truths that were hidden within the dense darkness of ignorance becomes clearly manifest by the mercy of Krishna, who is residing in everyone's heart as the Supersoul. In Bhagavad Gita, the Lord says that in order to show special favor to His pure devotees, He personally eradicates dense darkness of all misgivings by switching on the light of pure knowledge within the heart of a devotee. Therefore, because of personality of Godhead's taking charge of illuminating the heart of His devotee, certainly a devotee engaged in His service in transcendental love cannot remain in darkness. He comes to know everything of the absolute and the relative truth. The devotee cannot remain in darkness, and because a devotee is enlightened by the personality of Godhead, his knowledge is certainly perfect. This is not the case for those who speculate on the absolute truth by dint of their own limited power of approach. Perfect knowledge is called parampara, or deductive knowledge coming down from the authority to the submissive oral receiver, who is a bona fide by service and surrender. One cannot challenge the authority of the Supreme and know Him also at the same time. He reserves the right of not being exposed to such challenging spirit of an insignificant spark of the whole, a spark subjected to the control of illusory energy. The devotees are submissive, and therefore transcendental knowledge descends from the personality of Godhead to Brahma, and from Brahma to His sons and disciples in succession. This process is helped by the supersoul within such a devotee, That is the perfect way of learning transcendental knowledge. This enlightenment perfectly enables the devotee to distinguish spirit from matter, because the knot of spirit and matter is untied by the Lord. This is called ahankar, and it falsely obliges a living being to become identified with matter. As soon as this knot is loosened, therefore, all the clouds of doubt are at once cleared off. One sees his master and fully engages himself in transcendental loving service of the Lord, making full termination of the chain of fruitive action. In material existence, a living being creates his own chain of fruitive work and enjoys the good and bad effects of those actions life after life. But as soon as he engages himself in loving service of the Lord, he at once becomes free from the chain of karma. His actions no longer create any reaction. Om Ajnana Timirandasya Jnananjana Salakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Nama Om Vishnupadaya Krishna Prashthaya Bhutale Shrimate Bhaktivedanta Swami Niti Namine Namaste Saraswate Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvisesa Sunyavadi Paschatyadesatarine Vanchakalpatarubhyascha Kripa Sindubhya Evacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavibhyo Namo Namaha Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Sivasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama Hare 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 Krishna. So in the beginning of the Srimad Bhagavatam, in the first canto, there were six questions that were asked by the sages of Nimishranya, aided by Shonak Rushi, to Sutta Goswami. Anyone remember the six questions? It wasn't so long ago, just a few weeks ago. Anyone remember? What is the first question was, what is the ultimate good, right, for a human being, for humanity? That was the first question. Any other questions? Anyone remember? What is the essence of the scriptures? That was the second question. Third one? Yeah, why Lord Krishna appears, the appearance of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and specifically his pastimes, Leela avatars, right? And then also creation in connection with the appearance of the Lord, right? Specifically the Purusha avatars. And the final question was, where did religious principles go, or where did religion go after the disappearance or departure of Lord Krishna? So these were the six questions. So in the second chapter of the first canto, we're beginning to hear the answers of those questions. Sutta Goswami is giving answers to these questions. In the first set of verses, Sutta Goswami gives the answer to the first question. What is the ultimate good? And what's the answer? To bhaktir adoksaje. Aitukiya pratihata yayatma suprasidati. So the supreme occupation, or the ultimate good, the purpose of a person should be to attain love of God, prema, by the process of devotional service. And then Sutta Goswami continues and he begins to answer the second question. What is the essence of all revealed scriptures? And he says devotional service is the essence, right? Is the sar of all revealed scriptures. And then he begins to describe the progressive stages in devotional service, specifically from text 16 to 22. Verses 16 to 20, we hear of the nine progressive stages of devotional service, right, which we know of from Rupa Goswami in the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, right, starting off with Shraddha, right, Sadhu Sangha, Bhajana Kriya, and so on. So these 16 to 25 verses describe the nine progressive stages of devotional service. And these next two verses describe how even transcendentalists take pleasure in worshipping the Supreme Personality of Godhead, right? And how they engage in devotional service, and they're very enlivened by engaging in devotional service. And he's also said that even sadhakas, those who are practicing devotional service, those who are taking up to devotional service, can also experience transcendental pleasure. This particular verse, text 21, we're hearing of liberation. And also seeing the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Right? Atha darshanam. Srila Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur says, Atha darshanam. After seeing the Supreme Personality of Godhead, then one engages in devotional service, in pure devotional service, and there is so much sweetness that one experiences. That sweetness is described in the next verse, text 22. But here, this particular verse is more about liberation, and as one becomes free from material entanglement, he sees the Supreme Personality of Godhead face to face. So this section, this part we're going through, is quite philosophical, right? Of course, it's the first canto. And then, of course, later on, there are many, many pastimes, taking us all the way to the transcendental pastimes of Lord Krishna in canto 10. So first, we have to get the basics right, the fundamentals right. So here, we have Sutta Goswami describing the stages of devotional service. And this particular verse, liberation. How one becomes, as one engages in devotional service, how one becomes free from the entanglements of the material world and this body. So let us read this verse again, and let us try to understand. And in this way, also go through the purport and get our questions answered. There's probably quite a few questions arising as we read through, as we read the verse and as we go through it again. I had some questions, and I'm sure probably you have similar questions also that arise from this verse. So if you can repeat after me. Thus the knot in the heart is pierced, and all misgivings are cut to pieces. The chain of fruitive actions is terminated when one sees self as master. Okay, did some questions arise? I had a few questions. First one was, what is this knot in the heart? Right, what is this knot in the heart? Someone said something. Ahankar, yeah, Prabhupada speaks about ahankar here. Yep. And then, all misgivings are cut to pieces. What are the misgivings? And then fruitive action, the chain of fruitive actions is terminated. And the most interesting one is one sees the self as the master. Right? The Supreme Personality of Godhead is the Ishwar, he's the master, he's the dominator. But here it is saying that one sees the self as the master. So these are some of the questions that arise. Yes? What is that knot in the heart? What are the misgivings? what is this chain of fruitive actions, right, which are removed, which are terminated, and one sees the self as the master. Okay. So here this Atmani, this word Atmani, onto the self. Here Prabhupada is translated onto the self. Srila Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur says this is referring to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. It is not referring to the self as in us. It is referring to the real self. Right? The real self. We have ourselves, and within ourselves, within the core of our heart, is the Supreme Self. So this Atmani is referring to the Supreme Self within our heart. So, when one becomes free from material contamination, right, when one's heart, the knot in the heart is pierced, when all the misgivings are cut to pieces, when the chain of fruitive actions are terminated, at that time, one is able to see the self as the master. One is able to realize the Supreme Personality of Godhead as the master. Right? Previously, I am the master and I am the enjoyer. I am the controller. Now one realizes that there is the Supreme Master. Right? So, this is what Srila Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur explains, that one actually sees the self as the master. One actually sees Krishna, realizes Krishna as the master. Okay. And then Srila Prabhupada confirms this. Attaining scientific knowledge of the Personality of Godhead means seeing one's own self simultaneously. Right? So as one makes advancement in spiritual life, one understands the Supreme Lord, then simultaneously one understands that I am the servant of that Supreme Personality of Godhead. Right? I have been Godas, servant of the senses, servant of the mind, servant of this body. Now I should become the servant of that master. Yes? So, this is what Srila Prabhupada is saying, that one sees oneself simultaneously when one comes to realize the Supreme Personality of Godhead, as one becomes free from material entanglement. Srila Prabhupada continues and he says, as far as identity of the living being as spirit self is concerned, there are a number of speculations and misgivings. Right? So based on verses like this, Atmani, there are many speculations and misgivings. Right? And Prabhupada will then describe what are those speculations and misgivings. But here we also get an understanding. Prabhupada is giving another word for misgiving, speculations. Right? So he's saying speculation. There are a number of speculations and misgivings. So what is the cause of our suffering? What is the cause of our entanglement? Right? Is speculations, misgivings, ignorance, avidya. And Prabhupada continues and he says, the materialist does not believe in the existence of the spirit self. And the empiric philosophers believe in the impersonal feature of the whole spirit without individuality of the living beings. Right? One does not believe, the materialist does not believe in the spirit. Right? He thinks I am this body. Right? This body is all in all. And we have the spiritualist who thinks that I am that Supreme Spirit. Right? This is the misgiving, this is the speculations, Srila Prabhupada is saying. But the transcendentalists affirm that the soul and the super soul are two different identities, qualitatively one, but quantitatively different. There are many other theories, but all of these different speculations are at once cleared off as soon as Sri Krishna is realized in truth by the process of bhakti yoga. Okay, so how does one come to this point of realizing the self as the master, seeing the self as the master by engaging in devotional service. Why? How does one come to this point of understanding reality? Come out of the misgivings, the speculations, is by engaging in devotional service. And then Srila Prabhupada, in the first paragraph here, he continues and he says, wherever there is Krishna, how can there be darkness? Right? Krishna hai surya sama, maya hai andhakar. Jaha maya taha nahi Krishna. Taha nahi mayara andhakar. So Krishna is saying, so Prabhupada is saying that wherever there is Krishna, how can there be darkness? How can there be ignorance? How can there be any room for speculations? In the second paragraph, Srila Prabhupada continues and he says that through engagement in devotional service, Krishna himself eradicates the dense darkness of all misgivings by switching on the light of pure knowledge within the heart of the devotee. Anyone know that verse? In Bhagavad Gita? Tesam satata yuktanam bhajatam pratipurvakam dadami buddhi yogam tam yenamam upyantite. But there's also more specific verse, which is the one after. Kamparatham aham agnana jamtama nashyami atma bhavasto gnana deepena bhashvata. So from within the heart, when one engages in devotional service, from within the heart, all misgivings, all speculations, all darkness is removed. Okay. How does one come up to taking to devotional service? How does one take to devotional service? Prabhupada speaks about submission. Right? He speaks about the parampara system. One can engage in devotional service by taking up to the parampara system. And then he speaks about submission. And he says, perfect knowledge is called parampara, or deductive knowledge coming down from the authority to the submissive oral receiver, who is bona fide by service and surrender. One cannot challenge the authority of the Supreme and know him also at the same time. So one has to become submissive to really take up to devotional service, really engage in devotional service. I was thinking of the word submission, submissive, right? Mission. We put our own missions, our own speculations, misgivings aside, right? And we take up to the mission of the Supreme Lord. We align our desires to the Supreme Lord. Submission. One time in Bhadrikashram, Pandavas were there. Arjuna had gone to the heavenly planets to seek blessings of the demigods, and also to receive some weapons. Right, so then he can fight this Kurukshetra war. Right, he can Pandavas can win. Shri Radha Gokula Nandaki, Shri Sita Ram Lakshman Hanuman ki, Shri Gaur Nitai ki. So the Pandavas were in Bhadrikashram under the shelter of Narayan Rishi, in the ashram of Narayan Rishi. Arjuna had gone away to the heavenly planets to get blessings of the demigods to serve his father, Indra. Yudhishthir Maharaj, Bhima, Nakul, Sahadev, and then Dhaumya, they were all residing in Bhadrikashram. And at that time, Draupadi was sitting. Bhima was close by. And northeastern wind carried a flower, a very special type of flower, and it landed in front of Draupadi. This was 1,000-petaled flower. flower was named Sugandhika, right, the most fragrant flower. And upon seeing this very beautiful flower and the overwhelming smell, the fragrance, Draupadi was overtaken. Right? She took that flower and she said, I'm going to take this to Yudhishthira Maharaj. But Bhima, I also wish that there'll be more flowers like this. And then we can decorate our ashram with these flowers. This was when they were in exile for 14 years. So she went to give this flower to Yudhishthira Maharaj. And then Bhima, while she's gone to Yudhishthira Maharaj, Bhima's thinking, I would like to, he's a henpecked husband. Out of all the Pandavas, he's the most henpecked personality, right? Whatever Draupadi, he'll be the first one. Right? And whenever Draupadi wanted anything done, right, she wouldn't approach Yudhishthira or Arjun because they would ask questions. Right? Yudhishthira would always be, you know, speaking about religion and what is virtuous and so on. But Bhima, without any questions, if this would be pleasing for you, I would do it. Right? So Bhima started making his way to get this flower. He started going north. And as he was going, rushing to get this flower, he was destroying many creepers, many plants, many trees. Right? He was even scaring the animals as he was roaring through the northern regions of Bhadrika Ashram. And he was approaching the heavenly planets, the realms of the demigods and celestials. So Hanuman thought that if Bhima carries on, he may get into trouble, he may get into a fight, and he may even get cursed. So to protect my brother, I'll have to do something. So what Hanuman does, he takes on a form of an old monkey, old gigantic monkey, and he lies in the path of Bhima as he's going ahead. So as Bhima comes across Hanuman, he says to Hanuman, who are you? Get out of my way, I'm on a mission to serve my wife. I'm after this beautiful flower, this Sugandhika flower. And I know it's come, you know, this flower is in this direction. You know, so please get out of the way, you know, otherwise, you know, I'll have to move you out of the way. So Hanuman says, I'm old. You know, I'm sick, I'm old. You know, you'll have to move me. You have to do it yourself. So Bhima said, well, you know, I don't want to disrespect you in any way, and I don't want to jump over you. Although my brother Hanuman, the son of Vayu, you know, can easily cross mountains, and I also have same power as me. He has also same power. Right? Bhima was saying, I also have same power as Hanuman. So please move your tail, and I don't want to jump over it. And also, it's quite disrespectful. It would be disrespectful if I try to move you. Right? So Hanuman says, no. You try to move me, and don't worry about disrespecting me. So Bhima thinks, okay, this is not a problem. He's going to move Hanuman out of the way. But as Bhima is trying to lift Hanuman's tail, he's unable to do it. And he's at one point he's struggling so much, his eyes become red, his face becomes contorted, and he's not able to lift Hanuman out of the way. What to speak of Hanuman, he's not even able to move Hanuman's tail out of the way. So then Bhima is inquiring from Hanuman, who are you? Who are you? So Hanuman says, I am the servant of Lord Ram. Not like that. My name is Hanuman. And as soon as Bhima hears this name Hanuman, right, he becomes extremely ecstatic and he embraces Hanuman. And as he embraces Hanuman, all his fatigue disappears. And he feels more strength. He feels rejuvenated. And then he inquires. Bhima inquires from Hanuman that why are you blocking my way? He said, because you know, if you go beyond this point, you could get into trouble, right? Because these are all celestial regions that you'll be entering. So Bhima said, I'm a powerful personality. You know, our father is Vayu. What have we got to worry about? What have we got to worry about? So this is what Bhima is responding. And then Bhima says, if you are truly Hanuman, can you show me that form that you jumped, you crossed the ocean from India to Lanka? Can you show me that form? And Hanuman is reluctant. Then he starts speaking about different yugas. This is not particularly relevant for this yuga. There are specific laws for different yugas, and I can't break those laws. So then Bhima requests Hanuman again. And because Bhima is so submissive, so humble, and he takes shelter of Hanuman, then Hanuman actually shows that gigantic form. And he says to Bhima that there is no limit to how much I can increase myself in terms of my size. Right? And actually, if there's a war, and whenever I have more and more enemies and they fight more and more against me, I become more and more bigger. You know, like this. And upon seeing this form, just like Arjuna saw the universal form, and he prays to Krishna, I can't take it anymore. You know, my mind is reeling. You know, please show me your original form. This is too much for me. So same prayers Bhima does to Hanuman. And then immediately Hanuman comes back to his original size. And then Hanuman says, you may ask for me whatever benediction you like. Right? I can fulfill all of your desires. Right? And in fact, if you want, I can kill all the Kauravas and also destroy Duryodhan and Dhritarashtra. If you like, I can single-handedly do this. But it's destined that you Pandavas, you know, are meant to do this. And Lord Krishna has some plan for you. So then ask for me whatever else. So Hanuman being very pleased, Bhima asked that, can you assure us that we become victorious? So Hanuman says that I will take position on the flag of your brother, on the chariot. And every time you roar, I will also roar. And just by this roaring, this will incite fear into the Kauravas. And they will lose confidence. And as a result of losing confidence, the Pandavas will surely win the war. The greatest war that's going to be coming soon. So in this way, Hanuman blesses Bhima. But it's interesting how Hanuman becomes pleased like this. So initially, Bhima is very, very proud that by my strength I'm going to do this, I'm going to move Hanuman, you know, like this. But then as he becomes more humbler and he feels my strength is not going anywhere, then Hanuman becomes pleased. As he becomes more submissive, right, then Hanuman is pleased, and then Hanuman gives his benediction. Right, Hanuman is pleased with him. Right, and he says, I will join you. I will join you in this upcoming war. So, when we are submissive, then we please the authorities. And by that pleasure, they give us blessings, they give us instructions, they give us secrets into spiritual life. Right, they reveal confidential knowledge onto us. They also incite the Supreme Personality of Godhead to become merciful unto us. And in this way, then we can become successful materially, like the Pandavas, and also spiritually as well. where we become free from this material body, this material realm. We become free from these misgivings, this knot within the heart, right? And also this chain of fruitive actions. And thus then we're able to see the Supreme Personality of Godhead and understand truly our position, as opposed to I am the master. This knot in the heart, Srila Prabhupada is said, is that this false prestige, ahankar. This knot is called ahankar, and it falsely obliges a living being to become identified with matter. Right? Also, there is another verse in the Bhagavatam, a very popular verse, which speaks about this knot in the heart. Anyone know? In the fifth canto, text 8. Pumsistriya Maitunam Bhavamitam Tayor Mitho Ridaya Granthim Ahur Ata Griha Shetra Sutapta Vitare Vitayer Janasya Moho Aham Mameti Janasya Moho Yam Aham Mameti. So Hridaya Granthi is also mentioned there as well. This attraction between male and female, this is the basic principle of material existence. And as a result of that, right, one becomes attached and attracted to home, to this body, to family, to relatives, and wealth. And this puts one into illusion of I and mine. So similarly here also, Prabhupada is saying this knot, Hridaya Granthis, is this I, right? Ahankar. What is ahankar? Aham kar. Aham, I, kar means I am the doer. I am the doer. Ahankar. And then Srila Prabhupada goes on to further explain the chain of fruitive actions. Thinking oneself, I am the doer. So then one engages in various types of activities. And as a result of that, there are good and bad reactions. Happiness and distress one experiences. Right? So Prabhupada also explains what is this chain of fruitive actions that one becomes free from, that is terminated as one makes progress, is that first it begins with I am the doer, then one engages on those activities, then there's results, good and bad results, then there is experience of happiness and distress. And as a result of that, one becomes entangled, that one has to experience those results, then one the good results and the bad results, and then one does more activity, right, based on one's speculation. One does more activity, thinking that if I avoid these things, if I do it in such a way, I'll become happy. Right? So further and further, one becomes more entangled, and further, he remains and he gets caught up in this chain of fruitive actions and reactions. But by engaging in devotional service, one becomes free from this chain of fruitive actions. Okay? So, in conclusion, there first must be submission. By submissive oral reception, then one can engage in devotional service by the mercy of the devotees, right? By the mercy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Then the knot in the heart is pierced, and one comes to understand that, no, I am not the doer. I just desire. I'm only the doer in a sense that I'm just desiring. And that's also that free will is given by Krishna. Actually, everything is arranged by material nature, right? And Krishna sanctions everything. So I am a doer in a sense, I just desire. So one comes to understand this, one's knot in the heart is pierced of this knot of this ahankar, and one's misgivings are cut to pieces. One's ignorance is removed. Right? One does not speculate anymore. One does not doubt anymore. One feels, I tried out everything now. let me engage in devotional service. And then as one engages in devotional service, then the chain of fruitive actions are terminated. And then one sees the self as the master. One sees the Supreme Personality of Godhead, one also sees oneself. Okay. One truly understands who he is, who she is. So this is what Srila Prabhupada is saying. And then one engages in pure devotional service and then is able to taste the nectar that is there in devotional service, the sweetness that is there in devotional service. The next verse will speak about that nectar, right, that even the transcendentalists take pleasure in engaging in devotional service, right, and they are become enlivened. Okay. So this is some thoughts on text 21. Are there any questions, comments, or corrections?